Here we go, episode 7 of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast, live on a wintry Wednesday here in the great city of Chicago. I am Mike Jacobson from WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the publication known as The Red Eye, and we are live from the Tribune Tower right here on beautiful Michigan Avenue.
Hello.
And as soon as I say that it's a wintry Wednesday, now the sun's coming out.
It's out now. It was as soon as I got here and was walking in, it was like the first hailstorm of the year.
Yeah, it's been a really weird precipitation type of day today. I've seen
good
snow.
Word.
I've seen, I love that word.
You should do some weather for WGN.
Well,
some weather updates.
I'll talk to Skilling. I'll see if he can fit me in. But it's been weird today because I've seen rain, I've seen snow, I've seen like a wintry mix / hail ice thing, and now it's sunny.
Good news, not much sticking though. Driving, walking, it's been pretty easy.
We've been fortunate in the city.
My shoes a little wet on the way here. It's not sticking. It's pretty good so far.
It's been fortunate in the city. Haven't been getting that much snow. I know out in the suburbs and up north, they got nailed last week or week before, whatever it was now. But we got more to talk about than precipitation.
We do.
I know Tom Skilling listens to the podcast every week, and he's disappointed.
He's always texting me about it. He loves it.
Got to get some more precipitation talking there. But, another week has gone by since our last recording, of course, and the circus trip ends. They come back home for the first time last night. They lose to Minnesota. We got things to look ahead to for the month of December. We've got the Stadium Series rosters that are all set for the alumni game. Some really cool rosters.
It's a fun time
right
for the older guys. They love that stuff like that.
Yeah,
getting back out there.
There's some cool guys on there, particularly on the Blackhawks side that we like to talk about. Some names that'll bring up some good memories for a lot of people. Plus, we'll be doing the King's Keys as we do each and every week. Your keys to the next couple of games coming up. And then we'll take some questions from our listeners. And speaking of our listeners, again, you can find us on Facebook. We are at Blackhawks Crazy, so facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy.
Yes.
You can send us questions with the hashtag Blackhawks Crazy on Twitter. He is on Twitter at Scott King Media. I'm on Twitter at Jacobson Radio. So there's a million ways that you can get a hold of us and participate in the program. And we haven't mentioned this the past couple of times. Make sure you send in your Hawks pictures too.
Yeah, it's Fan Photo Friday.
Especially for this Friday.
I want to get back going again.
So
strong comeback
for those who might not be familiar with Fan Photo Friday. Go ahead and give us
all
a
you
quick
do
is, synopsis.
You could send it on Twitter, but we'll post them on Facebook. So if you go to the Facebook page, join Facebook if you have to. It's all the rave these days. But get your pictures in. You can message them to me. You can post them on the page, and we just share them. Pictures of you at games with your family watching the Hawks on TV, any kind of Hawks gear, anything hockey related, we'll post them. Everybody loves them. They always send them in. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is.
It does really well, so you guys should like it and do it.
And if you do send a really, really good pick in, maybe you might get some WGN swag or something.
Yeah,
you might be able to hook you up with something like that. So the one story that I purposely did not mention in our quick little outline, because it is the biggest story that I want to get into right now.
I hope is what I think it is.
It's Patrick Kane.
No, it's not. The biggest story is congratulations to you, Mike, because you are an uncle and a godfather. How about that,
Mike? I am. I got the double whammy this past
Congrats.
Weekend.
Two birds, one stone. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, I know we had mentioned it last week. We've been kind of waiting on pins and needles in my family. My brother and his sister-in-law were expecting. And I actually was going with Patrick Kane, but I did forget we wanted to mention this in the beginning.
I got to throw that in there. You're a modest guy, but I got to throw that in there.
That's
a great thing.
That was not planned, by the way.
No, it really wasn't.
But no, it's great. My niece was born on Saturday. We thought it was going to be on Thanksgiving Thursday, but it did not happen that way. She was 4 days late from her due date, but Avery Harper Jacobson, 7 pounds, 9 ounces, 21 inches long, so pretty long baby, and she's beautiful because she gets her looks from her uncle/godfather.
Beautiful baby. Saw the picture. Great name.
Yeah, and mom and dad are good. They're back home, and it was a really, really great holiday weekend for me.
Yeah.
You know, lots to be thankful for. So, and the best thing, of course, is that she's healthy, 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 and that's all that matters.
It would have been great if she was a Thanksgiving baby, but then she would have always, like, once she grows up, you guys are starting to be honest with her, she'll know that she ruined that Thanksgiving.
Well, I wouldn't say she didn't ruin by any means.
No, because it didn't happen on Thanksgiving. It was later.
Oh, but
everyone was recovered from Thanksgiving.
We were on pins and needles, though.
Yeah,
I know my mom, I was at my parents' house, and she's there, and she's cooking the turkey. Oh, I just hope this turkey at least gets cooked. I don't even care if we eat it, but because what do you do if it's with a half-cooked turkey and blah, blah, blah. So it all worked out. So on the 28th of November, I became a uncle, and then they asked me to be the godfather, which was great. So I've been showing pretty much, if you have met me, if you've known me my whole life, or I just met you 25 minutes ago, I've been showing pictures.
That's great,
to
dude.
Everybody, because she is gorgeous. So Avery Harper Jacobson, in the Jacobson clan officially, from Avery to Kaner.
There we go.
That's how about that?
That's a transition.
That's a segue.
Avery will really appreciate that.
That's a segue. Kane, the number one star of November, obviously very well deserved. He's been on this streak. It's already now to 20 games that he has scored a point. He passed with the 19 games where he had a point streak. He passed Eddie Olczyk and Phil Kessel.
Yeah.
So he is the leading point streak scorer, whatever the hell you want to call it.
American born.
He is the all-time leader in terms of consecutive games with at least 1 point.
Yeah.
And he could reach the pinnacle in Blackhawks history, I should say, in tying Bobby Hull, who had a 21-game point streak, and that could happen this Thursday in Ottawa. So
it could.
I mean, some of these stats have just been, for just the season, just to give it kind of a full context, he's got 12 goals and 20 assists, so that's pretty amazing. I mean, he's just been unbelievable. In November, 8 goals, 15 assists in 13 games. Well deserved. Why he got that
23 points in 13 games in 1 month. How insane is that?
It's nuts.
And the craziest part is not just that, of course, with those numbers, he's going to be the number one star, but he's been playing that way all season. We've been seeing, I want to talk about this every week. Yeah, since our first show.
I feel like when I put in the header of our podcast, Kane Patrick is always Kane in there.
Showtime.
Point streak continues. Still rolling.
But he has played that way all year, and you want to say he's getting better, but I don't know if he is because he's just been so consistent. He's always making the right play. He's always making clutch plays, a lot of power play goals this season for him. So it's just consistency at a very elite level is what we're seeing.
Well, that and just that chemistry with Panarin, and then finally having that center he's always been looking for in Isimov. It's just been
sure.
It's been unbelievable. I mean, that line, and we're gonna get into that later. Just that line has just been carrying. That's another consistent thing we've talked about week after week. The second line, and not getting much productivity out of the other three. So we'll get into that a little bit later too. But I mean, he's been incredible to watch. I mean, the goal last night that he had was the power play goal.
Yeah.
Blackhawks were 1-for-3 on the power play, but Duncan Keith needs to get a lot of credit.
That pass was unbelievable.
The pass was amazing.
And
Duncan Keith, I mean, he had a great play against it was the Kings game, I think it was. He had another great assist, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He's just, I mean, he's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. I mean, it's hard to describe just how important he is to this team in leadership off and on the ice.
So two more Kane stats. Per Elias, that's how you say it, right? Elias Sports
Elias.
Bureau.
Yeah. Elias, all right. There you go.
I never said it on a platform before. Patrick Kane is the fourth player to register a point streak of 20 or more games since the 1997-98 season. And pop quiz, Mike Jacobson, do you know why that is? Why it was that season?
I don't.
I believe that's when they made the rule that you can now pass over two lines, blue line, red line.
Oh, okay.
Line pass came into effect that season. Guys started getting some more points. Second stat I found really interesting. I saw this last night after the game. Regular season game, 82-game season, as we know. But if you look at Kane's last 82 games, that stretch, in his last 82 games, he's had 99 points. It's been a plus 22.
Plus 22.
So take not exactly a full season, but in his last 82 games, almost 100 points, one shy, plus 22. Every aspect of his game is just, he's the best player in the league right now.
I mean, he's MVP. It's looking like he's locked that in pretty good. I mean, granted, they're 13-9-2, I think it is, 13-9-3,
right.
Somewhere right around there. So we're a little over a quarter away through the season. So there's a lot of time to go here. But as of right now, I mean, and again, that doesn't really mean anything. But, I mean, he's got to be your MVP of the league. I mean, there's no question about it.
No one's even close.
So he's on his 20-game point streak, and he's going to go for 21 on Thursday in Ottawa. We'll talk about the game a little bit last night, and we're going to look back on the circus trip for just a little bit. But the game last night versus Minnesota, first game back after the circus trip, and that always seems to be a tough one. For whatever reason, I think it's just a matter of just getting your skates underneath you again, just getting used to being back home, which is kind of funny or kind of weird to think about. But I feel like that's always a tough game for any team that's been on a long road trip, whether in any sport, whether it's basketball or hockey or whatever it may be. And it kind of showed a little bit last night. There's a little bit of rust.
I mean, it is a tough game. With the circus trip, there's so much pressure to perform because, like we said on the last show, this is where they – take advantage of the opportunity to turn our season around and get some momentum on the road, points that matter against conference rivals. So a lot of pressure with the trip. They did kind of do what they need to do, get a little momentum. I know we're going to talk about it more in a minute. But it wasn't a good game, obviously. And a trip like that, that kind of pressure on the road takes a lot out of you. And you know what? The first game back is really tough, and I felt the same way. And so I went on Twitter to see if anyone posted the record for that game. Tracy Myers had it. So since 05-06, the Blackhawks are actually 7-3-0 in the first game back after the circus trip. Yeah.
That's interesting.
It is, because I think it's a very hard game. And it looked like it last night, and I remember it being so in the past, but they actually have done okay after it.
Because I know after the game, I think Duncan Keith specifically commented on it a little bit that it is always one of those tougher games to kind of get your head around.
I was surprised by that record.
Because, I mean, you figure their last game, they finished up the six-game road trip in L.A. on Saturday. So that gives you Sunday, you know, to get back, and that's kind of their rest day. Then they're Monday, they're back on the ice. Tuesday, you got a game. So, I mean, but either way, they just didn't look efficient. Again, the second line is just doing everything, and they're not getting productivity out of those other three lines. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, I mean, he was asked about it after the game yesterday, and this is what Q actually had to say about not getting enough from everybody else besides that Breadman, Anisimov, and Kane line.
We have more chances than we generally do against that team, but at the same time, I look back in the last three games, and we're back to where we were when we began the stretch here on the road when we weren't very productive. So I think that's the one line's been great and consistent and effective. But now we gotta, and we don't want to change how we have to play. We just need some finish.
So yeah, obviously you could tell. I mean, Q's not happy about it, and he has every right to be. And the thing is, too, I mean, watching the game last night, I produced the game for WGN Radio. I was actually back here at the studio. I was not at the stadium like I am sometimes, kind of split time with another colleague of mine in terms of doing that. But I was back here at the studio producing the game, and I looked. I mean, that third line, they're active. I mean, Dano is active. He just cannot, for whatever reason. I mean, he's getting the attempts. He just cannot get the freaking puck in the net. And, yeah. I mean, same with Hossa. He's had some chances.
Yeah, it's the same thing when they're on the first line.
It's been a frustrating year for both of those guys.
I agree. Whether they're on the first line, the third line, they're right there. They're mostly doing the right things. And whether it's a bouncing puck or someone holding their stick or some other kind of defensive play, they're just not going in, or they're not able to put the puck in the net easily. And they're right in the right position. And they will soon, but I know even Quinville's getting a little frustrated, and that's why they're moved down, and that's why he's not liking what he's seeing, because you do have to start to bury him at some point.
And it's kind of weird to say, but Jonathan Toews, he's not had his greatest year this year. He really hasn't. I mean, there's been times where he's looked like Jonathan Toews, and other times where he's just been MIA,
yeah,
in my opinion.
I mean, it starts towards the beginning of the season. I don't know if he started the season. It was towards the beginning of the season that overtime streak, those goals. I think it's more of who's been around him. They've had trouble figuring out who's going to be that left wing, and Host has had trouble finding chemistry with whoever's there too. So it's a lot of it's other personnel, and they're still trying to get the right guy. I think it's Dano. I think he's going to start scoring. He has to.
He's just been so active, and that's what's so frustrating. Yeah, if you're watching it, I mean, from any standpoint, whether you're watching it from an objective standpoint or you're watching it from a fan standpoint, he's there.
Yeah, and
you
don't want a guy like that sent back to Rockford when they traded for him to be on the first line, and he had a great camp there. He looked like he was going to be great there. So hopefully they start going in. you know.
And you know what? Corey Crawford played good last night.
I was going to say that.
I mean,
Mike.
It's a two to one. It's a 2-1 loss to Minnesota. I mean, you hate to lose those games in the Central Division, but they are still one up on Minnesota in the division. They're in fourth place right now. The Blackhawks. They're 1 point ahead of the Wild, who are in fifth place. But I mean, stopped 34 of 36 shots.
Yes, he was outstanding, especially in the first two periods. He was keeping them in it the whole time. He was making post to post saves, all kinds of athletic elite saves that when he's on his game, he can make those, and a lot of other goalies can't. He was having one of those games where you figure they're going to win or they should win.
And let's give credit to Dubnyk too. I mean, he stopped. That was the one. Now he stopped Taves in the first period when it was still tied. It was still 0-0. It was a amazing save on him, and to me that could have changed the whole momentum of the game.
Yeah, for sure.
So it was not the best way you want to start coming back home here, but then they're right back on the road on Thursday when they visit the Senators in Ottawa. And again, we will keep an eye on that point streak with Kane. If he does get that 20 that or if he does score a point again, that'll be 21 straight games. Then he will tie Bobby Hull for the all-time record in Blackhawks history. This is the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. I'm Mike Jacobson, WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the Red Eye. And we're going to look ahead to December here, but real quick, just look back at the circus strip a little bit because we talked about it for 2 weeks since they were on there, just to kind of put a bow on that. They end up going, you know, it was 3-1-2. They get 8 out of 12 points. They would have liked to have gotten that point against the Kings on Saturday. Didn't happen, but overall, I don't think they should be upset about that. I mean, eight points out of that's not bad.
No, it's not bad. The fans shouldn't be upset either. Overall, some of the games weren't pretty, especially like you said, not getting that point in LA. That was kind of brutal. You don't want to end a circus trip or a long road trip on a note like that, and they did. But they got the momentum that they needed to get. Mm-hmm. And just because they lost last night against Minnesota, it doesn't mean that the momentum's completely killed. Like we said, it's a tough game, even though the history suggests otherwise, they're able to overcome that. Still, it's a tough game to come back and play even at home, but they'll be fine. They got enough points, and things started to look good for them. A lot of lines, you know, not clicking perfectly, like we were saying, but there was some good plays, and some guys did find their stride a little bit on the trip.
So they don't get the point on Saturday, but then on Friday, an absolutely crazy game, and that was an early game for Blackhawks fans.
Yeah, your
watching.
Ducks.
My old team that I used to cover.
Your Beats,
and I was,
your old Beats.
My old Beats, where I was actually the reporter there for the team. And, yeah, talk about a crazy game. Unbelievable.
Insane.
What was it, 3 goals in a minute and 40-something or something like that? It was absolutely insane.
It was definitely two in like a minute 20.
Yeah, and so then they won it in overtime. And that was a fun game to watch, particularly on a Black Friday, if you were not one of the people like myself shopping.
I was shopping. Here's what happened with me.
You're one of them.
We needed. Look, you're a big holiday guy. So am I.
I am, but
so
I'm not a Black Friday. I'm not a Black Friday guy.
Listen, we needed decorations. This was the one time we could decorate was on Black Friday that weekend. So we go to Home Depot. I'm listening. I have my headphones in. I'm listening to the game. Only live feed I can get is the Anaheim feed. Not the best. I don't know who it was. Not the best commentating I've heard on a game. Kind of sounds like two guys having a burger at a bar. I know.
I know, though. I'm not going to name those gentlemen, but I know them very well.
Anyway, so I know it's 2-0, and then we're at Home Depot for a while because it's a great store, getting decorations. And then I turn it off. The game's almost over. I figure they're going to lose 2-0, 2-1 if they get lucky.
Mm-hmm.
So we check out. I get in the car, turn on the radio. They won in overtime. That's how crazy and how fast it was.
It's been insane. It's been insane. And I still like the 3-on-3. I really do. I know there's some people that don't like it. I know there's been some players that have come out and been very strong against it because the whole burnout factor and these guys getting tired.
I think it depends what kind of player you are. I've heard different guys say it. I talked to Roenick last week for a couple things. I think I mentioned this last time too. And he said with the 3-on-3, he likes it. He likes it a lot. He said there's so much skill there. It's so entertaining to watch. And he thinks it's going to be really good for the All-Star game format.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy, too.
It'll be interesting, a tournament with 3-on-3.
It's going to be – and then it's the winner, it's a $1 million take-all.
Don't make them play. I mean, it's not just a car anymore. Like,
I would say so. Well, I would do it for a car anyway.
Too. I need a new car.
you're preaching to the choir on that one. So, again, they go 3-1-2 on the circus road trip. They come back last night. They lose to Minnesota, but they got the whole month of December coming up here. And if you look back at some stats – it's been a good time of the year for Mr. Joel Quenneville.
Yes, exactly. Since he took over in the 2008-2009 season, the Blackhawks have a combined record of 54-17-7 in December. It's their month. This is where I think a lot of it is getting some momentum from the circus trip. That's why I talk about it's so important every year, and they completely can turn their season around if they have a bad start, which they kind of did this year. A little bit inconsistent, and look for them to stay hot under Coach Q. And that record, 54-17-7, that's a points percentage of almost 74%, grabbing a point in the games in December.
That's crazy.
So, you know, they play well at this time. We'll see if they can repeat history.
And they could use it. I mean, I feel like they were in fifth place in the Central for a very long time. I felt like for the past couple of weeks, basically, they were just right there.
Yeah,
they were
even tied at three.
Yeah, so now they're in fourth place. Kind of mentioned that before. They're one behind Nashville. They got 29 points total. Nashville's got 30. St. Louis has got 33. And then Dallas is just way ahead of everybody. They got 39. But Dallas, actually, last night, they just choked. I don't know if you saw this game.
I missed it, no.
Up 3-0 going into the third period. They give up 3 third period goals and then they lose in overtime to Calgary. But
they were due for a stinker. They've been so good this year.
Yeah, they've been phenomenal. They got 39 points. I mean, and they're really putting to it. The only team that's better in the entire NHL, and they are just smoking hot, but they lost Carey Price for the next 6 weeks. But that's
good.
Montreal. They got 41 points. They're 19-4-3.
They're lucky they got that start now that he's hurt.
Yeah, 6 weeks is a long time without arguably the best goaltender.
It is. They're obviously probably still going to make the playoffs and be fine.
That's arguably the best goaltender in the league, if not
the
best. For
sure. Almost every year. Yeah, he's fantastic.
And he's unbelievable.
Gold medalist.
We'll see if they'll be able to hold on there. But they have such a big lead in that Atlantic division. It's unbelievable. I mean, they got 41 points. The next one down is second place is Detroit. And they've got 30 points. So I think they'll be fine. But you know, more importantly, just focused on the Central. Dallas is – I don't think you got to shoot for Dallas right now. But, again, with this December coming up and this being their month, you know, as history says with Joe Quenneville being here. And, by the way, when you mentioned 2008-2009, I can't believe he's been here that long already.
Yeah, took over 4 games into that season.
It feels like Denny was just on the bench not too long ago.
I know, doesn't it?
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. And you know what? Actually, speaking of Denny – he's going to be part of the good old alumni game that's going to be coming up for the Stadium Series game. Stadium Series game is coming up in a couple months here, and it's going to feature the Wild and the Blackhawks, of course, and the teams that just met last night. And they announced the alumni rosters that are going to be playing in this fun game that's going to be taking place on February 20th at TCF Bank Stadium. Now, a lot of the guys on the North Stars, you might not recognize. There's going to be a few, of course. I mean, the guys that I recognize, of course, Mike Modano, Dino Cicerelli, Andrew Brunette. I mean, that's a few guys, but we obviously, we're a Blackhawks podcast, and we kind of want to focus on the Blackhawks alumni team that's going to be playing out on the ice. They're going to be out there. This is going to be an actual game. You're going to see what kind of speed there's going to be out there and how seriously these guys take it. But there's some cool names, man. There's some cool names. Let's start off with the coaches. It's going to be Tony Esposito and Pat Foley. That's a good mix.
I can't wait to see Pat Foley coach a game.
That's going to be fun.
He's such a great, you know, commentator and broadcaster. He does such a good job, and he loves hockey and hockey history. It's going to be a lot of fun to see how excited he gets and how he coaches.
So you got those two. They're going to be on the bench. You got Chris Chelios, who I think could still play. He definitely
putting a body on some guys.
Yeah, he's really gonna have to
tone
it down.
I see some scraps in the alumni game.
It's funny. I actually saw him. This was a while ago. Now this is when I was still producing Cap and Haw. Rest in peace. That was still That was still going on. And I was walking home from work one day, and it was later. It was like 6 or 7 at night, and I saw Chelly walking down Rush Street. Guy still looks like he could. Still looks.
I
like
saw
he
him a couple years ago.
He could put up 300 pounds. I mean,
yeah,
he looks like
a professional athlete, though.
So. He's ridiculous. I mean, but he had one of the hardest training regimens of anybody. The way that guy used to stay in shape is unbelievable back in the day. You'd read some of those stories. Nuts. So Jeremy Roenick's going to be out on the ice. Jeremy's put out a few pounds since he's left, but Jeremy, I mean, he'll be fine.
His hands will be fine. You know he's going to score some goals. Those hands will be good.
Then we get some other guys that are kind of in that same age range, let's say. Eric Daze, good old number 55, going to be out there, the big man. That's going to be cool to see.
I'm glad to see him peek his head into this and get remembered because he was so good.
Jamal Mayers will be out there. He's another guy kind of in that same age range. Yeah. And
watch out for him.
Yeah, he's still doing just fine in terms of being
in
shape.
Good.
Yeah, I know Jamal a little bit, see him quite a bit. He's ripped, and with those tight suits that he wears, you could definitely tell that he's still hitting the weights.
He's going to make sure nobody gets out of line on that alumni ice.
That's
sure it's a nice,
that's
friendly
right.
game. Otherwise, Jamal will tell you what you did wrong.
A few other names that guys will recognize, guys and gals will recognize out there, even if you're just a casual Blackhawks fan. Brent Sopel will be out there in his mustache. That'll be out there. And then our very own from WGN Radio, Mr. Color Commentator, Troy Murray, will be out there. Great to see Troy out there. That'll be a lot of fun.
Why weren't we asked to call, if those guys are on the ice, why weren't we asked to call the alumni game? Like,
yeah,
that would
have
been so much fun.
That would have been fun.
Good way for us to break in our color and our play-by-play there.
I don't know if that'd be the one I'd want to throw past management, but I don't know if they'd want me out there. Then the Silver Fox, and he's one of the nicest guys in the world. Had him on as a guest a million times. Steve Conroy will be out there.
Have you called him that to his face? Like, hey, Steve, you know, you're a Silver Fox.
Oh, I've called him Silver Fox before.
Does he like it?
Oh, yeah. If you got hair like that, you're proud of it, and you go with it, baby.
Yeah.
That's great older middle-aged man hair right there. Well, not middle-aged. He's probably close to 50, I would say,
right.
Steve. I'd have to Google it real quick.
Looks
but
great.
My hair looks like that at 50. I'm a happy man, and my hair will not look like that at 50. I can tell you that much. So
you never know.
But that's the big ones right there. The big names that are going to be out there. So that should be a lot of fun. I'm just curious to see how much joking around there's going to be, or maybe there's going to be some guys that really do take it seriously. I mean, Dino Cicerelli has always been a jerk. So I can see him just maybe jabbing Conroy.
There's guys that won't put up with it. But at the same time, they're happy to be out there. They know that, you know, they're not playing for the cup. This is, you know, they're just kind of being honored, and it's a fun time. It's a cool outdoor game. The fans are all excited about it. Usually a lot of fun. You see guys laugh a lot. So we'll see. But it's always fun. That's a good lineup for the Hawks.
So, yeah, there's going to be approximately 50 former players and coaches that are scheduled to participate in this whole extravaganza. So, again, this is going to be on February 20th. So we got a couple months here, but that's going to be something to look forward to if you're a Blackhawks fan or if you're a Minnesota Wild fan or just a hockey fan in general. So Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. I'm Mike Jacobson, executive sports producer here at WGN Radio. He is Scott King. He covers the Blackhawks for the Red Eye Chicago and some other publications as well. He dips his hand into a little bit of everything. And speaking of you, Scott, we like to get to this part of the podcast right now before we get into questions with our audience. We call it King's Keys, and these are the keys that you want to have fans look at moving forward here for the next couple of games for the Blackhawks. What is this week's King's Keys?
Key number one, keep the foot on the gas. Now, not only do they need to come out hard in the first, but they need to play a full 60 minutes. They're not always going to be able to battle back and beat good teams in OT. We saw them have trouble with LA at the end of the circus trip. Key number two, consistency among all lines, not with guys named Kane, Panarin, and Anisimov. And we say this every show. Unfortunately, it's their issue that they need to start fixing. And I know it's hard when Quinville's moving guys around a lot to try to gel and find chemistry.
That's him, though. That's, you know,
that's what he does.
That's his line roulette. And
you have to know that. And if you're not producing, you're going to be somewhere else.
It's tough for players to adjust to his system. And a lot of them are very open about it.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, you come here. It's totally different game.
For sure.
I mean, Q's unique, and obviously he's – the way that he goes about things has proven to be successful with three cups in 6 years. So it could be frustrating at times for, I think, certain players, particularly young players, but this is the way it is. I mean, what the stash says goes.
So, yeah, guys besides that second line have to get hot, have to find a back of the net, no matter where you're being moved around. They just need to get some consistency.
So there you go. King's Keys for the next couple of games here coming up. Again, the next one will be on Thursday. You can hear it right on WGN Radio, and that'll be in Ottawa versus the Senators. It is time now for our question segment, and if you would like to submit a question, not for this week because we already got our question, so sorry about that, but for next week, if you want to get involved, you can visit our Facebook page, Blackhawks Crazy. Go on there, or you can send us questions via the hashtag Blackhawks Crazy, and we will be sure to, we always filter them out, we kind of go through the best ones that we want, and then we start talking about them. So the first one right here for you, sir, comes from Jen Bennett. Thoughts on Machinter? Think it's time to send him down or give someone else a chance?
Well, you kind of brought it to my attention before the show, Mike. You said his ice time last night was like 5 minutes, and I think it's been like that for most of his games.
He had five minutes, 26 seconds last night of ice time, and he only played two shifts in the third period. And there's signs pointing towards the fact that he might be sent down. But then who do you bring back up? You were at Hawks practice today.
That's crazy.
I was not there today. And and he was asked, Coach Q, about, well, what about bringing Bickle up? What did he say?
Yeah, they said, you know, do you expect to see Bickle back here soon, or do you want him back here soon? And Quinville got the dreaded, we'll see response. That's usually Quinville's kiss of death if it's a question about personnel and being back in the lineup or falling somewhere else. So him saying we'll see about Bickle coming back soon to the Hawks, that does not look good for him at all.
Yeah, and you know, to go to Sarah Moy, she asked the question, what's going to happen with Trevor Daly and Brian Bickle? Again, I still think that, and I know we kind of talked about this last week too, I everybody wants to talk about this. We were on the post-game show. I'm screening calls last night for Judd Surratt, and the same thing. We had two callers, same thing. That's all they wanted to know about.
Those two guys?
What's going to happen with Daly? Because Daly's not a guy, he's not easy to like right now because he's just, again, he hasn't produced this year.
I think that he should get a little slack now. I think he had a good trip. I think he had a solid road trip.
It was better. He played better in the road trip.
Yeah.
I will say that.
I don't remember him seeing make many mistakes. He was putting a lot of pucks on net. So the thing is, though, that guys are being shopped all the time. You don't know who's picking up the phone, who's using the phone. So could he get traded still? Maybe. But I think he's kind of proven that he can be a little more – he's a little more dependable now.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, Bickle,
I still think Bix is going to come up at some point, though.
He could, especially if they still can't get chemistry or consistency on the other lines. So you plug him into the third, maybe things turn out a little better. Plug him in the first, maybe it'll look like the 2013 playoffs.
Yeah, you never know. We'll have to see what happens, see how it all plays out. This one from Paul Berry. How do you think Hossa on the third line has looked? Do you think it's helped balancing the attack, or has it made him less effective? He's had goal attempts. Just not a lot of shots on goal.
Yeah, we kind of talked about this a little bit
earlier. It's been frustrating year for him. It's been frustrating years for a lot of guys in that third line, including Kruger. But Kruger's, I think, I love Kruger. I think I love the way he plays. He does a lot of the cleanup and dirty work that you're not going to find on the stat sheet.
No, he flies under the radar for doing a lot right.
Exactly.
Not getting noticed.
So in terms of that third line, but Hossa and Dano, they just cannot. Eventually, it's got to happen. It's got to happen because they're there. They're right there. They're active. They're right there.
Well, maybe my thought is that sometimes Quinville will move guys down and sometimes together to get them hot. So maybe you see guys from a first line go to third line or even fourth line. Or, you know, we saw it with Sharp last year.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he brought them down together because that's still the first line that they want. And he just wants to see them play against other teams, bottom six, and get some confidence and get some goals. So, you know, I'm sure he just wants him to get hot there, and we'll see him move back up because it's not pretty seeing Marion Hossa on the third line.
No.
It's not. It just doesn't seem right.
No, it doesn't.
And I actually think from practice today, it looked like from who was wearing the red and black jerseys, they weren't showing lines. For some reason, they didn't want to give too much away today. But from how the pieces fell, it looked like Dano might be back on the first line now.
Okay.
So maybe Hossa too. You know, they'll be back there soon. And like we said, they've had a ton of chances. Still going soon.
A couple more questions before we wrap things up here on the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. This one from Mello Buffone. Are DeJardin and Garbutt fighting for the same roster spot?
I don't think so. I'm curious what you think, Mike, but I think DeJardin's first, he got a big goal in San Jose. That is his first goal, I believe,
of the
Hawks.
Yeah.
Since he's been on the Hawks from last
year. Yeah, it was his first
regular
point.
Season goal.
It was his first point.
Point also.
This year.
So he got a little confidence there. That's good. In terms of roster decisions, he's been the odd man out a lot, and Garbutt's been more of like a utility guy where they can try to make him a skill guy. He'll play on the first line. He's, you know, tight checking, but he puts the puck on net.
He's also been on the fourth line,
ability.
Too. So,
no, exactly. He's utility.
He's been all over the place.
He goes all over. And where DeJardin's is just really on a checking line. On the fourth line, he was so good last year. For some reason, they're trying to get his plus-minus up this year. They need him to be a little better.
I got to say, that had to feel good for him in San Jose to go back to
the team that
traded him. And he said as much. So that was pretty cool. So that was one of the highlights of the circus trip for him,
yeah,
clearly.
Definitely.
And then to wrap things up here, this one from Jeremy Trimble, I think is how you say it. Who's the toughest team they should worry about this season? For one thing, I think the team that you saw last night. I mean, they're ahead of them right now, the Minnesota Wild. But that's a good team, and I know every year in the playoffs come, and then they take care
the
of them.
The Hawks kind of bury them in the
but
playoffs,
that,
yeah.
They remind me of a fly because they keep buzzing around, and they keep bugging you. And that's a team that I think – and a team that you obviously see a lot – That's a team you got to be worried about. We mentioned the Stars earlier. They're rolling with 39 points. The Blues have been very good this year.
The Blues actually have more consistency than they usually do.
Yeah.
They have the finishing touch this year, and that's something to worry about. Because, you know, Tarasenko's always going to be good.
Yeah.
He's their Kane. He's always going to find the net. But it seems like other guys are playing their well, too.
Yeah, they're 15-7-3 right now. They're at 33 points. I think a lot of it, you just stay in the division. I think Nashville is a team that you always worry about.
Seven-game series last year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, got them. And then, you know, down in the Pacific Division, you got the Kings, who you just saw. But I'm not sold on them.
They're not what they used to be. And they've had all kinds of problems. And they're not what they used to be. They lost some guys.
San Jose is not a bad team. You saw them, too. You beat them.
Yeah,
but
they had they have a six-game winning streak before they played the Hawks?
Yeah, they had a six-game on the East Coast. Six-game
tough trip.
Road trip that they all won, but I'm not buying what they're selling either.
No, they're better.
But that's a team to look at. But I would say the most dangerous teams, in my opinion, obviously the Stars because they're the best in the Central, the Blues, and I still think the Wild. The Wild are a team that they're pesky.
We'll see in the playoffs because they look good in the regular season every year, and then the Hawks kind of trounce them in the playoffs. But maybe this is the year where they go a little deeper. They're a little harder to play against in the playoffs. We'll see.
And a disappointing team this year that I would normally say watch out for are the Ducks. I mean, they just cannot get it going. I mean, they're 9-11 on the year, 9-11-5, and they just cannot get it clicking there. And they can't finish this year. And we clearly saw that this past Friday.
It's true. That was a good
game. When the Blackhawks come back from 2-0 down late in the third and then come back to win it. So
they got good players, and now they have a lot to prove. So they're still dangerous. They just haven't shown the consistency this year.
And I think we're going to find out who the toughest team is going to be as the season progresses. I mean, we're talking – we got a long way to go.
It's the beginning of December, sure.
82-game season. It's a long season. And this has been, another fun edition. The seventh.
Yes, sir, seven
the
in the
seventh
can.
Episode of Blackhawks Crazy. Had fun as always for my man, Scott King from the Red Eye. I am Mike Jacobson, WGN Radio. Episode 8 coming at you next week. We'll talk to you then.